God loves you because God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for faithfully sowing into the work of God. Like we said last week, we had our AGM. That's where we give you access to the books. We're completely transparent and accountable, let you know what's happening. Continue to seek the Lord's face as to how and where, and when and where you should be sowing into the kingdom of God. Okay, folks, we continuing on our journey through the book of Revelation. We're moving up in the chapters. The first three chapters, we spoke about the letters that were written to the churches and the lessons that it has for us, and was specifically told, John, you're going to focus on the things that you have seen and the things which are. And then now he goes to tell him about the things which must be. It's interesting to note how many times church was mentioned in Revelations chapter 1 to 3. And then it's never mentioned once again. The church is not mentioned once again right up until chapter 22. Why is that? Why is it not mentioned at all from Revelation 4 right up to 22? Well, it's because of this. This is not from Revelation, but to start off, we're going to get into this morning. This is something that we should look forward to, something that we get excited about, something that has caused confusion, something that has caused controversy, something that has caused questions. But it's in the Word of God. We believe that the whole Word of God is indelible. It means it can't be erased. And it's infallible. That means it's perfect. And that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. God used people to put together what we know as the canon of Scriptures today. Over approximately 1,500 years, over three continents, with over 40 authors in two different languages. It's incredible. I think even three of the original writings. No, it was the Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic somewhere in there, but yeah, Hebrew, Greek at the very, very least. And God has put that together so we can trust and rest assured that what we have is indeed the Word of God. People speak about the Word of God, say, oh, you can't use this Bible, you can't use that Bible because the Word of God has been changed. No, it gets printed incorrectly, but you cannot change the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is the most widely supported ancient manuscript and writing in the history of mankind. The leading universities in the world teach about Greek philosophers like Galileo and all these. I think he's a philosopher. He had made something important like a telescope or something like that. People like Homer's Iliad, where the maximum amount of supporting ancient manuscripts that they have is 300 and something, and they believe it and teach it. Take a guess how many supportive manuscripts there are for the Bible scriptures. 5,000. Iemand het geluisterd in LTS. So we're willing to believe those Greek philosophers with that amount of supporting manuscripts, but people question the Bible. But the Word of God is the Word of God. And not one jot or tittle will be left unfulfilled from what God has spoken. Can we say amen? So that's why we get excited about this. That's why the church is not mentioned in Revelations from 4 right up to 22, because something has happened to the church. And this is what happened to the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. This is true. For the Lord himself, I want to read it like you guys are reading it this morning. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. And next one. Then, okay, because we had to wait for them to rise. I mean, just be patient. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth, that's if we are alive. Mark's beaten us all there. He's graduated to be with Jesus already. We who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up. Everybody say up. Now, this is deep. This took me years and years of deep, deep theological studies to get to the true meaning and understanding of this. Where is up? Three people. What about the rest of you? Okay, for the rest of you that are not sure, up is this way. Up is this way. And some people say, yo, Mozzie, that depends on where you're standing on the globe. Because if you're on the bottom side of the globe, you say up, you actually... Up is up. Up is up. That's deep, hey? It's deep, you know? It's very difficult, hey? Up is the opposite of down. It's not complicated. And it says, we'll meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. Where do clouds appear? Oh, so we're in agreement there. Up and the clouds. Where's the sky? Unless you're busy investing in a piece of property off your motorcycle, then it's road sky, road sky, road sky. But it's not complicated. It's not complicated. We overcomplicate it. It's simple, plain language. It is literal. It's not metaphorical. It's not figurative. We who are alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, so encourage each other with these words. That's why there's no mention of the church there. You might have heard of pre-tribulationists, mid-tribulationists, post-tribulationists. What that means, it's not a new form of Rice Krispies from Kellogg's. It means the following. Some people teach and believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation because of this. Some people believe in the middle of the tribulation, some people after the tribulation. But if you look at everything that's written in the scriptures and what the church needs to go through, there is absolutely no reason for the church to be around during the tribulation. The scriptures on which people base that is very, very dodgy and less substantiated than the others. So it's not a case of, okay, there's 17 that say this and 3 that choose this, so we're going to go with this. Well, literally, it's like that. It's what does the balance of the scriptures say? So we teach and believe just like that. We teach and believe just like that, that the church is going to be raptured. People say, well, the rapture is not true because the word rapture does not exist in the Bible. But that's the word that we use to describe this. So you can use that passage of scripture to say this is going to be taking place, or you can say the rapture. You choose. We believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation takes place. And if people believe other than that, you're not going to go to hell for it. I can assure you of that. If you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and believe in his sacrifice that he rose and you've repented from your sins, the scripture promises you eternal life. There's no need for us to fight and start new churches over these things. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So why does the scripture say in verse 18, encourage each other with these words? Encourage each other with these words. Folks, notice it doesn't say encourage each other with the promise of prosperity. Encourage each other with a promise of having lots of bucks to buy all the toys you want to. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Encourage each other with the fact that you can live a name it, claim it Christianity where you just name it and claim it from God. Encourage each other that every single one of your prayers will always be answered. Encourage one another that once you give your heart to Jesus, that gaan maanskyn en rose wees en geraad. Encourage each other with these words. Why do we have to encourage each other that we're going to be meet the Lord in the air? Why? I submit to you. Are you ready for this? Perhaps, in spite of how good it can get and how lekker it can get and how exciting it can be and how much of an adventure it can be, in spite of all that, there's not much to look forward to on this earth, in this life, in this body that gets older and older and older. Encourage each other with the fact that we're going to be with the Lord forever. Encourage each other that this God is a radical God. He does things like this. How is he going to do it? I don't know. Encourage each other with the fact that we are one day going to be out of these bodies that start dying from the moment we're born. How many of you would like to be in a body that isn't dying all the time? I would. I'd like to have a body that doesn't get sore and painful and sick and old. I mean, we spoke about how God is so, isn't he crazy? He's funny. He's got a sense of humor. I'll prove it to you. I'm losing hair on my head, but it's coming out of my nostrils and my ears. And I don't care who you are. That is funny. I mean, look at my face. I mean, come on. God's got a sense of humor. This God does things like that. Encourage each other with these. And folks, this is what we have got to look forward to. That means, Lord, I'm going through struggles here. And if you look at the heroes of faith in the Faith Hall of Fame, Diane, in Hebrews 11, it speaks about people that prayed and believed and trusted. They were just as charismatic as the happiest, clappiest Jesus freaks like us. And guess what? They did not see and receive the end of their faith. Why? Because they were looking forward to a better future. Whew, like that, to be with the Lord. That's why we must encourage each other with this. That means when it doesn't go our way, when everything goes wrong, encourage each other with these words. Guys, this pain and suffering that we're going through cannot be compared to what we're going to receive and experience in glory one day. Are we going to receive snippets and benefits of heaven down here? Yes, we are. It's the promises of a year and now, not just one day. Because we've said before, you're already living your eternal life. Eternity is not one day in heaven. You are already an eternal spirit, existed before God ever created anything. You've existed in the mind of God. He says, before the foundation of the earth was laid, I knew you. I knew you. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you. You have always existed. Your spirit has always existed. There came a time when it was matched to a soul and it was put into a body. Okay. Then you grew up and became physically fit. But then it comes a time where you're not physically fit anymore. It's like, you know, you're getting old when your back goes out more often than you do. Then you're getting old. Come on. Yeah, young men say, you'll laugh. There was also a time where I thought I was bulletproof, China. But we're not. That's why we can look forward to, Lord, there's things I pray for that I don't get. There's things that I don't understand. Heck, there's things in the scripture that the most anointed and gifted theologians on the planet just like, I don't know. Or in other words, ish. That falls under Deuteronomy 29:29. That says that the secret things belong to the Lord. That which is revealed to us is for us and our children. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, I haven't given it to them, but I've told you now. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen. No ears heard. No mind has even conceived anything like that which God has prepared for those who love Him. But verse 10 says, but the Holy Spirit has revealed these things to us. So the hungrier we get, the more we dig, the more we search, the more we long, the more we reach in, the more God shows us little bit by little bit as we can handle it. Even the Bible declares that not everything that Jesus done was documented in John 20:21. It's the last chapter of the book of John. It says that if that you write about everything that Jesus done, there won't be enough books to contain it in the world. So these are the things we got to look forward to, church. I'm looking forward to the day when finally good triumphs over evil. I'm looking forward to the day, I think it's Proverbs 14 and verse 19, that says, the good will bow before the evil and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. I'm looking forward to the day when every principality and power bows its knee to the Lordship of Jesus and says, yes, you are Lord. But blessed are they that can say it here and now. That's why some of you are getting excited. Amen. That's why it says, encourage one another with these words. It's an encouragement to look forward to. That means the best of times here. It can only take us so far, and then that's it. How many of you know? Jy kan jou vir eenselfig. I'm trying to speak in English, but I'm thinking in Afrikaans. So wees geduldig met my julle. Jy kan jou vir eenselfig met hierdie beginsel. The novelty wears off. You plan and you save, or you bless enough, just go and buy it. You swipe that plastic, ka-ching, ka-ching, and you get the new whatever. You get it. But that expectation before you get it, and if you're like me, you research it and you look at the pictures and you have a picture up as a screensaver and, you know, whatever it is, it might be a new pressure cooker. Oh. or Samsung's latest dishwasher or something. Or it might be something with two wheels and an engine, I don't know. Or something that you pull the trigger, goes bang. Whatever floats your boat. And this anticipation. And then it comes and you unwrap it. Or it gets delivered. Or you go and collect it. And it's got a bow on it and whatever. And then it gets its first ding. Or its first scratch. Or its first whatever. Or it gets... Eventually, you enjoy it, but the novelty wears off. But with Jesus, where his mercies and compassions fail not, that are new every morning, that's why we can encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with this. So guys, this is what we look forward to. If we are alive at the time, and it would be incredible, and I say again, Mark has beaten us there. Up to now, all of us, we see dimly as in a mirror, a mere reflection. Now, you've seen Jesus face to face. Encourage one another with these words. That's what happens to the church, folks. In Revelation chapter 4 has an overall overriding theme for it. Hoe lank is ek aan die gang? Julle, daai timer daar agter loop nie. I just want to... Nee, dit maak nogal saak. I'd rather leave you wanting more instead of wishing I finish. I'm going about 15 minutes. Hey, I hope it's only 15. Come on, julle. Revelation 20. 20 minutes already. Jo. Okay. 10 minutes, okay. So we... Revelation chapter 4 is an overall theme. I'm going to read it verse 1 to 8 and we'll see, okay, what's this about? So there's been challenging things and good things, the letters addressed to the churches, and see how we can apply it. Then we're going to see an interesting thing. It's going to be praise and worship, and then it's going to get horrific. In Revelations, it's going to get so doomy, so gloomy, so catastrophic. It's like nothing this world has ever seen, and it's preparing us for this. But it sets the foundation, and it sets the tone, and the backdrop, and the atmosphere for what is to come. And this is Revelation chapter 4. Read with me, please, from verse 1. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first, and let your imagination run wild this morning. Is that okay? Under the guidance of the Spirit. I saw a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, I wonder, what's it like a trumpet speaking? A trumpet speaking with me. Like the Apostle John is like, doesn't know how to describe this stuff. It's just so awesome. A trumpet speaking with me saying, come up here, and I'll show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat in the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. The beauty and the splendor, the originality of a rainbow was from God, not from the ABC crowd, the LGBTQ plus whatever. And we love everybody, but don't think, oh, there's something wrong with it. No, its originality and its purity and its essence is there from God. Can we say amen? We must... Folks, we must be careful. We must be careful as the body of Jesus Christ about being judgmental and pointing fingers at other people. Because God is the God of the marginalized. He loves everybody, and you're next. What's the difference between the sin in your life and the sin in somebody else's life? Exactly. Exactly. People that have different lifestyle orientations, they don't need Jesus because of that. They need Jesus because they're sinners like us. Saints that sometimes sin, saved by grace. Can you say amen? Okay, so back to the heaven. Jasper and a sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. What does that even look like? Around the throne were 24 thrones, And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Whew. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal, full of eyes in front and in back. I don't know what your imagination is showing you, but this is you. This is like, yo, this is serious stuff. Verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. How long have these beings and these creatures been going around the throne room of God saying this? I trust that the Holy Spirit is coloring some things in for you this morning. We're going to do our best to unpack a little bit of it and focus on what the theme is of this passage of Scripture in Revelations 4, so that we can go on to 5 in future weeks. In the above passage, John gets a glimpse of heaven. The glimpse of heaven. There's one sitting on the throne, and it is God. It is God on this throne. It says, and there was one sitting on the throne, and that throne is God. It speaks about 24 elders. No one can say with certainty. There's speculation, but that's all that it is, folks. It is speculation. No one can say with speculation who those 24 elders are, but they're literal beings, literal people. No one can say with certainty who these are, because there are too many variables in Scripture. For example, some say represents the church, some say represents the tribes of Israel, and some say the apostles. It's all speculation, but there's 24 elders that are there around the throne. Then it speaks about the 7 spirits of God. This has been dealt with in previous chapters of Revelation. Can only refer to the fullness of the Spirit. We previously discussed this in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And then you also see this in Isaiah verse 11 and verse 2. Can we just go there, guys? I believe it's important for us to look at it, because when we started this book of Revelation, understanding Revelation, what did we say? Revelation is more about who it is instead of what it's about. And it's about Jesus. Listen to this about the sevenfold anointing that's on Jesus. There are certain significance with numbers in Scriptures, but we mustn't read too much into it. But 7 speaks about completion, where everything's complete. Sevenfold Spirit upon Jesus Christ. This is messianic. It's about Jesus and speaks about this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. There's the sevenfold anointing that's upon Jesus. That's about Jesus. And yeah, that can only refer to this. The 7 spirits refers to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We previously discussed this in Revelation 3 and verse 1. Then it speaks about a sea of glass like a crystal. This is the actual floor of the throne room. There are several stones described here in this passage of Scripture. I mentioned a few of their names, sardius and jasper. Okay, there are also several stones mentioned that are used to build the gates, and then the gates and the walls surrounding the new city of Jerusalem. And you look at these stones today and you think that if we look at it in light that we know, it's like, okay, there's the stone. But did you know there's a purer form of light? And I forget all the facts about it, but Google it. There's a purer form of light that's purer. And when it's purer, it means that the waves of the light are interrupted less, put it that way. And the light has a duality. So it has a wave nature and a particle nature. But that's something else. That's just interesting reading. It shows you how awesome God is. But when, listen to this, folks, if once again, another reason to see the authenticity of the Bible, that it's the Word of God. How many thousands of years ago was that portion of scripture written? 2,000 odd or whatever. I don't know the exact date of the writings of this book of Revelation. Okay, but a long, long, long time ago, even before this technology even existed. You look at those stones that are used in the walls and described elsewhere in the scripture. You look at it in the light that we have, less pure, it looks like, okay, semi-precious stones, pretty cool. But when that purer light goes through it, it takes on spectacular spectrums of colors that you have not seen, that we're not used to. Who would have known that? Who would have known that in the purest light that comes from God, these semi-precious stones take on an appearance beyond magnificence that we know today? That is God. And the floor of this throne room is crystal, like glass. It's like glass. What kind of glass? I don't know. Can you imagine what it looks like? That's the throne room. That's the throne room. The actual floor of the throne room. What are the four living creatures? Well, these are literal angelic beings. They're different from the 24 angels, 24 elders. They're different from them. There's a differentiation from them in the words used, etc. They're different from the 24 elders or the angels or cherubim or seraphim. They're the 24, these are the four living creatures. They're just different. That's what they are. What they exactly are, we don't know. We don't know, but they're there. Everything else to describe it and say what it is only speculation. Why are we harping on about what it looks like? Well, you're going to see. First of all, we see that God likes beauty. I mean, look at you, Oaks. God likes beauty. God likes you. Have you seen birds of paradise? Folks, just Google birds of paradise. It's absolutely incredible. God likes nice stuff. He likes beautiful things. And this is around him. Why? Because we're getting to the focus of what chapter 4 of Revelation is about. These beings, these elders, these angels, they sang this: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. The focus of this chapter is the holiness of God. All focus is on this aspect, the nature of our Lord God Almighty. Church, there is a call to holiness. I read a very sobering account, a book that Gerard and Reza blessed me with called The Awe of God. But John Bevere has an interview with a pastor that gets arrested for stuff. Used of God, signs and wonders in the ministry, big, successful in terms of numbers, ends up in financial and moral failure, etc., and ends up in prison. Imagine you've got to come and do prison visitation because ek het droog gemaak. And he asks this man, what happened? It's not like there was a lack of knowledge of the word. It's not like there was a lack of anointing. People think, oh, just more anointing. Yeah, you can so gesalf wees, nee, that you can be so smooth, you can roll uphill, but you can still be disobedient. You can still be disobedient. So be careful about following teachers and preachers with signs and wonders and stage miracles. I'm not knocking it. I'd love for that to be the norm in our church, where regularly people are getting up out of wheelchairs. It would be lekker. But folks, you can be as anointed as whatever and still be walking in disobedience before God. And he asks this pastor, what went wrong? The good story is this guy repented, etc., and got used of God afterwards still, because that's who God is. He's a God of restoration. Can you say amen? And you know what the pastor said? He said, I just lost the fear of God. I lost the fear of God. He was my chaba. He was my bra, my connection. Hey, God, how's it? We casually approach the things of God instead of understanding. Folks, these mighty, in physical ability, and right now, spiritual access to God, these beings, all they can say is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we casually approach the Lord like, yeah, ek skiet gou-gou 'n gebedjie op. May God help us. That's the focus of Revelation chapter 4. It's the setting of this throne. And John's trying to describe all of this. And it's holy, holy. There's a call for us to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Two more verses and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Now, before I got born again, years as a kid growing up, I grew up in a religious church. We'd go from time to time, we'd go to church for hatch, match, and dispatch. Hatching for christening, matching for weddings, and dispatching for funerals. That's when you go to church. And then I started seeking the Lord, and I'd go to church on Saturdays, so I didn't have to wake up early on Sundays after joining on Saturday night. So I had religion in my life, and I had this religious understanding of what holiness means. You know, these untouchable people that are like so separate from everything and separate from the world, you know. And then I come to understand that holiness, amongst other things, means being sanctified, set apart in the midst of a wicked and corrupt world for the things of God. In other words, it's not the mess of the world here and you holy here and you never have interaction with us, no. But like Jesus sat amongst the prostitutes, the tax collectors and the sinners and the worst of the worst, he sat with them and he represented his Father. That, brothers and sisters, is holiness. There's a call for us to be different. There must come a time when we separate yourself, come out from among them and be separate. But then get from God what you need to go back into the world and let your light so shine before all men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is a call to holiness. It's about this holy God and us seeing his holiness and saying, Lord, he says this, you must be holy because I am holy. Who of us can make ourselves holy by obeying rules and regulations? Please raise your hand. We can't make ourselves holy by obeying rules and regulations. For thousands of years, people tried, and we failed miserably. Religion formed from trying to obey rules. And God came and remedied the curse of mankind by sending Jesus Christ, his Son, to die in our place so that we can come to God and say, God, I don't have to tell you, but I need to. I've blown it. Ek het hier en hier en hier en hier droog gemaak. Lord, I'm a royal mess. Turn my mess into a message. My trial into a triumph. My test into a testimony. Jesus, because you have paid the price for me. Holy Spirit, help me to do this. Help me. Give me the power, the spiritual power, the resolve and the mental discipline of my mind to bring my body in line with your word and say, Lord, help me to live a holy life. It says, be holy, for I am holy. And I close with this verse. This verse, folks, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. I think so many people are going to be caught by surprise. So many people are going to be caught by surprise. Hebrews 12 and verse 13. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Dis ontnugterend. It's sobering. How many of you have watched some boxing matches where the Okie's like, he's punch drunk, eh? And he's in the corner and he's like, he doesn't know it's Dinsdag, Dingaansdag. He doesn't know whether he's coming and going, and they give him those sniffing salts. And it's like, that's what it's going to be like. If there's no holiness, what could there possibly be in our lives that God would have an issue with? Don't wait for a preacher to tell you. Don't wait for a brother in love to come and tell you. That's good. It has its place. But say, Holy Spirit, show me. Search my heart. See me. Try me and see if there's any wicked way within me. We see that written in the Psalms. And ask God. And then you say, Lord, I give this to you. All I can give you, Lord God, is unbelief and sin and brokenness. Cleanse me, Lord, and may I be used of you. Folks, that's what Revelation chapter 4 is about. This holy, holy God who's calling us to be holy. As the deep end comes up and gets ready to lead us in a time of worship one more time, let's seek the Lord's face this morning and ask ourselves, Lord, show me. As you sit there and do business with God, ask the Lord, Lord, what is there in my life right now that's unholy? I want to repent of that, Lord. I want it dealt with like only you can, with grace and mercy. You're graceful and you're merciful, but you're a God that requires change, Lord. And Lord, I repent of that, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord God. I'm really sorry, Lord. I hate that it's in my life. Forgive me of my sins. You promised that you're faithful and just, that if I confess my sins to you, you will forgive me, Lord. So I ask that you forgive me. And holiness doesn't mean that I'm not in the world, Lord God. I'm in the world, although not of the world. And that I'm so holy that I can't be of relevance to people, Lord God. And I ask that you help me with this, Lord God. I know I'm not perfect, Lord. Thank you for your grace this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower me to live this out. As wonderful and amazing as the description is of you on the throne and the elders and the creatures and the stones and the light and how beautiful it is, Lord, you've called for me to be beautiful in my spirit. Psalm 19 in verse 14 or verse 15, I think it is, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you. Lord, as we seek your face together, thank you that you help us as your children to live this out, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Lord, bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of extra time to listen this morning. God willing, we'll see each other same time, same place soon. Let's worship the Lord together.